Turkey's President Recep Erdogan is maybe throwing in the towel on a decade of trying to become a regional power. Erdogan has forced his hand-picked Prime Minister, Ahmet Davutoğlu, to stand down later this month. The Syrian migrant crisis, an escalating conflict with PKK Kurdish rebels, as well as a perceived failure to have any influence over events in the Syrian civil war, have all brought a chapter of Turkish history to a close. Soner Çayaptay is director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Soner, is this an ideological conflict that Erdogan is having?
Not at all. I think this shows personalization of power in Turkey, a very unfortunate trend in one of the oldest democracies in the Middle East. And for that purpose, a country which has been a multi-party democracy since 1950, I think is now seeing the hollowing out of all institutions and personalization of power in the hands of Turkish President Erdogan. Davutoğlu was seen as a very compliant prime minister. You could not be more compliant than him, but I think it looks like Erdogan wants someone who is basically a no-name and will do everything that he wants as head of government, that is, head of prime minister, completely subservient to Erdogan, who is head of state. This shows to me that Erdogan is not only the head of state in Turkey, which is his official title, but he's also the head of government now de facto. He will handpick the next head of the ruling party as well as the next head of government. So he's head of state, head of government, head of ruling party, head of everything in Turkey. Complete personalization of power in his hands seems to be on the way.
And given that the prime minister was seen as someone who was compliant, and even that didn't work out, does he have a constituency? Is he well known in the country? Is he likely to take his dismissal and make some sort of political opposition out of it?
Unfortunately for himself, the prime minister has no constituency whatsoever. He is an academic who is basically seen as someone with some scholarly credentials who came to power as a foreign policy expert. He's actually the architect of Turkey's failed Syria policy. But ironically, that policy was backed up by Erdogan when Davutoğlu, the prime minister, executed it. So I think another way of looking at this resignation mandated by Erdogan is that Erdogan maybe wants to move away some of his failures in Syria, which have exposed Turkey to great risks, threats, terrorist attacks, as well as many enemies in Syria from the Assad regime to the Russian government, that maybe this is how he's trying to distance himself from some of his failures by firing the prime minister.
Is the nation more widely aware of the escalation against Kurdish rebels in the east of the country?
If you live in Turkey, there's no way you won't be aware of the many threats, not only fighting against the PKK in the southeast, but also the threats that are looming. Turkey had more suicide bomb attacks, unfortunately, in the last few months than it has ever had in its entire history. Hundreds of people have been killed as a result of attacks caused by ISIL or PKK, and some even have been connected to the Assad regime. This was a foreign policy in Syria and the Middle East executed by Davutoğlu and Erdogan that was supposed to make Turkey a Middle East star. It has not only failed to make that, but also exposed the country to huge risks.
But Soner, Erdogan is not in a position now to back away from Syria. He's stuck in the middle of this conflict, and I'm just wondering what kind of movement is even possible for him now?
One movement is that the whole Davutoğlu foreign policy doctrine supported by Erdogan was based on the premise that Turkey could become a Middle East power when and if it broke with Washington and with its traditional Western allies, EU, NATO, and Israel, so that it could be, quote-unquote, authentic voice and leader in the region. That has not happened. Turkey has not only not become a leader, but it also has lost all of its friends in the West and all its friends in the region. Its only ally in the Middle East right now is Qatar. The country has never been this isolated. Its four major non-European neighbors, Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, are now in an alliance against Turkey. This also has not never happened. And this is a direct result of Turkey's failed policy in Syria, executed by Erdogan and Davutoğlu together. But now, without Davutoğlu, I think Erdogan will try to pivot back to the country's traditional allies in the West, with NATO, with the United States, but also with Israel, where there's talks of normalization going on. So expect this, I think, to be a period when Turkey tries to come closer to its traditional allies in the West that both Davutoğlu and Erdogan thought Turkey could do without for about a decade. The rude awakening for them is that they realize that they can't make Turkey a standalone power. The country's region is full of threats. Turkey's neighbors are not Belgium, Luxembourg, and Netherlands. They are Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Russia. And with neighbors like that, you do need your old friends back.
What's next? Martial law, if he consolidates even more and attempts to really reverse any kind of civil democracy?
The sad part of this for Turkey's democracy is that although Turkey has been a democracy, let's say, longer than has been Spain, Turkey has had free and fair elections, multi-party system since 1950, Erdogan and Davutoglu have hollowed out Turkey's democratic institutions by consolidating all power in the hands of one person. And now I think the trend, as you said, is hollowing out of Turkey's democratic institutions.
Soner Çayaptay is director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He spoke with us from Washington, D.C. Soner, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.